Forever.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And hey to our podcast,
Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod. It is a comedy podcast about scary stories, urban legends, and spooky things you tell us about. So it's more if like Jennifer Coolidge was your spiritual medium rather than like an actual spiritual medium, you know?
God, it's amazing that she's not one.
I'm not sure. As I said it, I was like, is she one? And have I absorbed some very tertiary information about her actually being a medium?
I mean, look, I was at a rooftop pool with just her and her companion.
Wow.
For many, many hours one day. Yes.
Right.
Did we both watch a waiter slip and fall in a puddle and we both separately comforted him? Yes. Was that our only interaction? You bet. But in a way, that was sort of a psychic experience.
You know, communicating. That's about as much of a psychic experience as I think I could handle, to be honest.
Right, right. Well, Andrew, it's a very special day. We have a visitor, the way that ghosts are visitors.
Yes.
From another realm. We have a visitor from another podcast.
We sure do. And everybody, you're in for a big old treat. Because this special guest, she's a comedian. She's a performer. She's a writer. You've seen her on BuzzFeed, on Bravo, on Hey Queen TV. And of course, she's the host of the delightfully spooky podcast, Ghosted. Joining us this week is Roz Dresfelez.
Hi.
Roz.
Woo! Okay, I was just talking about, I don't know if you saw this news story, but Jennifer Coolidge lives in a haunted house in New Orleans.
Yes.
Wait, this makes sense.
It was It was where The Beguiled was filmed, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
That's where she lives, and I'm obsessed. And there was a story about how she had Connie Britton stay with her, and they were talking about how it was haunted. Imagine that slumber party.
Now, this is how to be a first-rate guest on a podcast, everybody. You come with celebrity goss ready to go.
Can you imagine being a gay ghost in a house with Connie Britton and Jennifer Coolidge?
Could you imagine?
I feel like it must be a beacon for the supernatural, for the queer supernatural ghost and ghoulie, you know?
Maternal comforting energy.
Oh my gosh, the sheer volume of hair.
A lot of hair, a lot of clip-ins. I'm finding an article that says Jennifer Coolidge once banned party guests from her bathroom because of a ghost.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly it.
Don't use that bathroom. It's a ghost. God bless.
So tremendous. What a great way to kick off today's podcast. Roz, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm, you know, it's our time of year, people.
It sure is.
I've been listening to your podcast, and I'm embarrassed that I haven't met you guys sooner. We're on the same page.
Oh, good. It's a treat to meet a fellow spiritual cousin.
It truly does feel this way. And I was just saying to Roz before we recorded that I've been a longtime fan because like right when Chris and I moved to LA, we saw Roz in a Golden Girls Live in the basement of Casita del Campo.
Oh, yes.
Playing Rose. The House of the Beans.
Well, and allegedly the House of Ghosts.
Yes.
They say that basement is haunted. The basement theater where we do all these fun kooky shows in Silver Lake. They say it's haunted, and I have a lot of friends that have had experiences. I don't know that I have. Recently we were doing another run of Golden Girls, which is a bunch of drag queens and Sam Pancake and Drew Drogi and Jackie Beat and Sherry Vine
and
we do Golden Girls episodes, and we were down there a couple months ago, and I like kind of caught something on a camera, but you know, I've become a little bit more of like a paranormal investigator over here, and I think you know, it's really tough because if you wear rhinestones as, you know, they can catch a light and shine little things. And so that's tough for me to, you know, I love to have on a rhinestone. You know, I like to walk around town with one of those rhinestone baseball caps that say Hollywood on them that you get on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yep. And ghosts love that hat.
They love it. So I can't tell if it's ghosts or if it's just my shiny hat.
See, I feel like shiny clothing accoutrement is the original Pepper's ghost, you know?
Oh,
like
yes.
On stage. For sure.
Yes. It's that old school spiritualist scam type thing. It's just wear rhinestones and hit the lights.
I do feel like ghosts love rhinestones, though, so it's hard to say.
Well, I'm sure.
The reflection of light is very appealing to a ghost. I mean, the episode of Ghosted with Drew Droege as a guest, he talks about how at one point during a show, from right behind him, he heard, or was it a friend of his who heard a child's voice say, "I want socks."
That was true. Yeah, he heard. So they say that there's a little girl that's down there. There's a story that I have not been able to find concrete evidence. Not that I'm like straight up going to the Hall of Records with like, you know, my Diane Sawyer costume on or whatever. I don't know, but they say that there was a girl that died in that basement a long, long time ago. And they also say, well, I found an article that there was a guy that was trying to rob that place. And I believe he got shot somehow and he died like on the scene. Oh. And so people have had experiences with a man in that basement too. But the crazy thing is, it's all so friendly. That place, anyone's ever been there, it is like the vibe is right. Like just in every way, that place is so... such a beautiful restaurant. The staff is so sweet. Food's great. It's so beautifully decorated. And like even the ghosts are like, let's have a good time. Like they are not creepy at all.
It's truly indicative of how an environment can really impact both the living and dead occupants. You know, Casino del Campo is a warm, welcoming place for
it's
sure.
Just a night. The salsa is wet, and the feelings are good.
Exactly.
Who's mad at that?
Who's mad at that? I mean, and Roz, I think something I so appreciate about your podcast too is the fact that you are approaching it like an investigator. Like you are open and interested in all these stories without sacrificing any trust that maybe a skeptical audience member or listener might have.
I always like to take the approach of here's what people are saying and you figure it out on your own what you want to believe. I get a little bit nervous sometimes. Like I like to have on all different kinds of people on my show and hear what they believe. And I like to always keep an open mind. I think that my thoughts on this stuff change constantly. And a lot of paranormal professionals will tell you that the more they know, the less they know. You know, you just constantly hear more and you discover more. And it's tough. It's sometimes hard for me to have conversations with people that are like, here's what that is. That's a demon. And here's how you get rid of it. You need holy water. Like whatever. Like, if you're really stuck in specific ways, it's kind of hard to explore other possibilities, you know, it's part of the fun. It's all called the unknown. So I try to keep like just an open-minded approach to it. Though I like to hear people that believe in their, you know, their beliefs. You know, if I talk to a psychic, I want a psychic that's like, here's what's up because I'm paying you. So I want you to tell me what's
Make
right.
Make it up.
Yeah.
Make it up.
Yeah. So, I try to talk to all different kinds of people. I try not to, you know, have an agenda per se, because skeptical people do listen to the show and hopefully at the end of the day, at least we get just good stories.
That's the thing. I mean, and that's like, it's such a great spot to just listen to people who are so good at telling good stories. Tell them it's really, everyone's got to listen if you haven't already.
Yeah, that's why I like to have on actors and comedians. And I mean, as cheesy as it is to say, but we are storytellers.
Oh, we are the weavers of dreams.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Now, Roz, were you always kind of interested in the supernatural? Like, what were your early formative horror influences?
Well, I was raised Catholic, so there's that.
Yes, we've said that Catholicism is very spooky adjacent.
Yeah.
Oh, so spooky adjacent. And I was always drawn to that part of it. I also, now that I think about it, I'm like, I wonder if it had to do with the fact that my parents were Catholic, that like they showed me Carrie and The Exorcist very young. And those are both like, you know, Catholic-y kinds of movies.
Yeah.
And so I've just always had a fear of demons and a belief in ghosts. It's just always been a thing for me. But I also, my grandmother haunted the house I grew up in. And so I just think at a young age, I was just kind of like, yeah, ghosts are a thing. And I wanted to know more. And so as I've gotten older, I've just always been, it's just always been a fact of life. And it's something that I want to never stop hearing about.
Oh, man. Were the visitations from your grandma, I'm sure you talk about it plenty on your show, so we won't go too into it, but were they pleasant? Did it feel like a nice visit? Was it a little scary?
Well, to me, I don't care who you are. If you appear in my bedroom at night and then you vanish, that's terrifying.
Yes.
Even if it's my loving grandmother.
This is what I'm saying.
So I hate to say it, but yeah, it was spooky in that way. But she was a loving grandmother, and she would, I believe she was an intelligent ghost that would react in ways that, like, if I was being a brat, she would be a grandma and yell at me, kind of a thing.
Wow.
And if I was feeling down, she would be like, hey, I'm here, everything's okay. So she was, you know, she was a grandma. I mean, I think living grandmas can be scary, you know, sometimes.
Sure.
If they're
certainly
mad. So
if they don't think you should be watching sexy music videos on VH1, they're going to let you know.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, like as you know, become a teenager and stuff, you're like, what, grandma, can you please just not be in the room for this part?
Like, right.
Yeah.
Grandmas always walk in at the worst possible moment of the music video.
Just holding a basket of chicken tenders.
So what about now? Like, what are the things that creep you out now? Like, are there any stories that have really gotten under your skin, or do you sort of approach it from like, there's just another plane of existence and people are just making their way best they can?
Hell no. It's all scary to me. I am, the more I hear, the more scared I get. I mean, I'm a little bit more desensitized to a lot of this stuff, but
sure.
I live alone and I don't, I've had a lot of expert, quote unquote, type people on, and they have actually made me feel a lot better about a lot of this stuff, particularly people that specialize in like demons and that sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I've learned a bit about protecting and also debunking some of these things, because I grew up old school Catholic.
Sure.
And there's a part of me that still is like, if you talk about this stuff, the demons are going to find you and they're going to say, we heard you were talking about it. You know, like I,
there's hey, a toots.
Yeah. So that's always a part of me where I'm like, I joke about demons so that the world can hear. There's a chance
right.
A demon could be listening. But I recently had on this occult expert, Michelle Bellinger, who's incredible. And she's actually my episode this week. And she is, she really kind of debunks a lot of that stuff for me. And so talking to people like that, also I have a nice little Rolodex of here's who I call when I start vomiting
of
pea
soup. Of course.
Smart.
When I start levitating.
Oh my God. You're right. I mean, like, Paranormal Activity is what has made me scared of the demon side of things.
Oh my God, yes.
It's worse than a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of, just like a primer, like what do we do if it's a demon? If we get one?
Well, that's what I say. I have everything. I'm not even kidding you. You tell me, buy this crystal, you buy this hunk of salt, I'll get it. Whatever it takes so that they don't show up in the middle of the night. We heard you were talking shit. We heard you were running your mouth. What's good?
We heard you said demon.
Yeah. Did someone call for me? I got it all. Honestly, if something like that was to happen, I feel good that I know who to call, but I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Keep calm.
Yeah.
Keep calm and hold your breath.
I put on some bowling for soup. Yeah. Stacey's mom.
Get horny. Is there anything that isn't worth people's money when it comes to protecting against demons? It's just like not worth it.
This is what I take away. Again, this is just my belief. Make up your own mind. But I think that all of it has to do with your intention. Just having a crystal or lighting sage or doing whatever you got to do, just doing that because you heard some drag queen on a podcast talking about it is not going to keep a demon away. You have to believe in it. Because I started having this dilemma a couple years ago with having all these conversations with people where someone would say, and then I got some holy water and I said 5 Hail Marys and it vanished. And then someone else will tell me, and then I had some sage and some Palo Santo or whatever, and it made it go away. And so then I started saying, well, which one is it? Okay. Mm. Because they can't both work. There's no way. And what I think it comes down to from talking to people is it's what you believe.
Right.
There's an exorcist that I'm obsessed with named R.H. Stavis, and she's a non-denominational exorcist, and she's been on my show a few times. And she says, if you just say fuck off, it's like just as powerful. It's just a matter of standing your ground and being like, I'm in charge, or God's in charge, or whoever, whatever you got to say, get out.
I love
that. Wow, no way. Non-denominational exorcist. That makes so much sense because, like, I rebuke thee. That's just how priests talk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So their version of fuck off is, like, all that stuff. That's just how they talk.
That is very helpful to know. That's good advice. I remember when I was a little kid, I was given a book that essentially was, like, the Catholic version of, like, a true ghost stories book. I think it was called I Believe in Angels. And it was about, like, people's stories of angels intervening on their behalf. But one of the stories was terrifying, in which it was two kids who were staying at their dad's, and their dad's girlfriend was into the occult and had a Ouija board. And the dad and the girlfriend were out for drinks or something. And the kids saw on the ceiling, it looked like slideshow images of demons popping up. And there were more and more and more of them. And the kids just started shouting at the demons like, my guardian angel's going to come get you. And then gradually, like, these like warlike angels started coming in and forcing the images of the demons out. And all I left, like, I remember my mom reading me that story. And I was just like, I'm not even thinking about the angels. I'm just thinking about the possibility of slideshow demons invading my childhood bedroom ceiling. That was very scary.
Oh my God. You know, Ouija boards, that's another thing that there's so much stigma. I think a lot of people have their ideas of Ouija boards. Now, I'm not going to lie. I have always thought that Ouija boards are the devil. You know, I was taught that as a kid, and it's hard to undo. But I've talked to a lot of people that are like, why would that be the devil? But I don't know, like going to a psychic or doing all these little devices when you go ghost hunting, like, what you're, everything you're doing is trying to contact the dead or spirits or whatever. So why is a Ouija board? A lot of it has to do with The Exorcist and with movies. And, you know, I think people just have this idea that they are specifically demonic. And I don't think that that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it just looks so much like a portal that, like, you know, it's spooky. But yeah, it was made by Milton Bradley. Like, it's not, it's not like that ancient.
It was literally like in the aisle next to Monopoly in Candyland and stuff. Right. Like, why is that a portal? But I do think it's probably possible that you can say, hey, who's here to talk? And maybe it is a demon. Like, it's kind of like, do you remember Chat Roulette? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. You might find your new best friend. You might find a wiener. Okay.
There's a wiener.
It could be a wiener ghost from the other side.
But, oh my God.
So you're just kind of opening yourself up. You don't know what's going to be around the corner, but it could be nice. It could be bad. I don't know. But I think that that's also why so many people have these scary slumber party stories of we had a Ouija board and then this devil popped out. Because I think a lot of times people don't know what they're doing because it was marketed as a child's game.
Right.
And so I think that it is possible for sure. But I don't think that they should be associated with demons specifically. That being said, do I want one in my home? No.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah. I did famously receive one. My godmother asked my mom what I wanted for my confirmation. And I said a Ouija board. And the sweet woman, the sweet diabetes educator, was terrorized into going to the mall and getting a Ouija board. And I could tell it just broke her heart. And then I was terrified of it.
Well, I famously I bought one from a Goodwill for $1 and it ended up haunting my home. It ended up haunting multiple homes. I don't know that it was a demon, but tune into my first ever episode of my podcast to hear me tell that story.
Oh,
that,
it's a tease. Absolutely.
That is incredibly effective. Yeah, I will say, like, there are some, Anna and I have experienced on this show, there are two kind of contagious stories that have been told. One is about a demon that you see and when you wake up at a certain time of night. But the other one is every time we've told a story about one of us almost pooping our pants, we have gotten listeners to say, like, oh, when you told that story that day, I almost pooped my pants. So I also think there's like some power in suggestion, you know, of things.
Oh, definitely.
Like, as you were saying, whatever you empower, both positively and negatively, can have a very real impact.
Well, I'm also somebody that, like, if I see a movie, like, I will see a movie. What was I just watching? Where sometimes I see a movie that's so effective, and then I'm like, now I'm going to be that for the rest of my life, where I'm like, oh, I'm watching Rocky. Now I'm going to be a boxer. But so sometimes I will watch a movie about, like, Paranormal Activity or something. And then I am totally convinced that there is a demon in my house. And I think that sometimes when you consume that stuff, it's fresh on the mind. You're also scared. Now, if you go with the theory that something like a demon feeds off of fear, maybe since you are in this fearful state, they might be like, ooh, a fresh one. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense.
It does. It does. And I do like this. We've had some like lapsed Catholics or recovering Catholics on the podcast before, and everyone agrees, even if they have no more faith at all in any sort of life in the beyond or any sort of higher power, demon stuff can't help but like get under their skin.
Oh, it's in there deep.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Well, I'm also like, if there was a demon crawling up next to me in my bed, that's when I'm like Googling how do I become a nun? I'm like, I will go right for a convent and that's over. Game over. You win, Jesus.
I mean, that's a Mrs. Doubtfire for now, is a drag queen becoming a nun.
Wow. That's really good. Oh my God. Good.
It's a musical.
Also, Roz, you're in the exact right place because I think both Anna and I at multiple points in our life have Googled, how do I become a nun?
Oh God. My mother works at a convent for real. And yeah, she's a nurse and takes care of those nuns, and they're spooky, you know?
I'm obsessed with nuns. I mean, I didn't I wasn't really into the movie The Nun, but the idea of that is I'm obsessed with.
A scary poster.
I was her 2 years for Halloween, The Nun. And then as this Halloween comes around, I'm like, what am I going to be? I do have The Nun costume.
I mean, you could be like The Nun, but it could be a scary pun, you know?
Well, I used to perform. I don't really do drag shows as much like I used to, but I used to every Halloween do be The Nun and then do Sister Act songs.
Oh, and that God, Roz.
No, that makes people happy.
That is
I did find a meme from a spiritual meme account that reminds me of demons that I'll read to us now. It says, when I walk into a crowded place, everyone stops what they're doing too. And then the fill in the meme part is cross themselves to ward off the dark energy I emanate from every pore, but it is fruitless because their God is younger than the source of my darkness. And it's like a picture of a girl wearing a cross on like a, I think like a Pokemon, an old fashioned Pokemon game. Like one of these foldy games.
That meme is not playing around. I was kind of expecting it to be more quippy.
Yeah.
It's not. I just love their God is younger than the source of my darkness.
That's amazing.
That's kind of how I felt when Christina Aguilera came out and I was already a Britney fan. I was like, you have no idea. Like in 98, I was like, okay, we'll see. I mean, now there's room for everybody, you know, but at the time.
No, there's not. I'd like to see them fight now. Just two women and their families just going at it.
Hey, gentle listeners. So that does it for the first half of this week's episode. But please tune in on Friday because Roz will be back to read The Ghost in the Mirror and talk about all variety of Bloody Marys. You're not going to want to miss it. Get out.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.